Good evening, Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome back to the Perpetual Notion Machine. I'm your mad scientist host, Wally, coming to you about once a month, 7 to 7:30 on a Thursday. With me, special treat in the studio, is the proto-mad scientist, my dad, Richard Walrath, codename Pill Duck.
Wow. How do I get that code name?
Everyone gets a code name. So welcome, Rick, a.k.a. Often Wally, a.k.a. Bad Dad, a.k.a. The Renaissance Man, a.k.a. PD, for those not into the whole brevity thing. Wait, no, that is brevity. Thanks for coming in. You turn in back in your prime, turning 71 here next week, and so this is all he gets for his birthday, unfortunately. Maybe a crisp fish sandwich after that's not true. I got a goofy gift for him, but Rick here, Mr. Walrath, if you will, is a experienced pharmacist who spent his time between Freidert in the bunker, passing out scripts, putting them in the tubes, getting them to the people, some Walgreens time, some Walgreens chemo time, all the way to being a consultant for Epic with Wheaton Franciscan, which was, I'm sure, just a joyous time of his life working for Epic Systems. And we grew up around a science-loving table. So that was always something that when I was a young lad, just a young Wally myself, we would ask science questions and have debates. And so kind of grew up in that arena and wanted to take a chance to get his perspective. We live in a, you know, post-science, post-reality world. And so let's talk some real science and talk about what's really happening on the ground if you are either pro-prescriptions, over-the-counter, I might say OTC, over-the-counter, that's your acronym for the day. Also worth mentioning that the views expressed on the Perpetual Notion Machine do not necessarily reflect the views of the board of directors or the staff. It is just two mad scientists having a good time here down on Bedford Street as usual. So, Pill Duck, welcome. Welcome to the studio. And the first time on the radio, right?
This is it. This is my my very first. I feel so honored to be with my son.
Oh, well, it's great to have you. So back in the dark ages, when you were just a young teenager, what made you decide that you wanted to sell drugs for a living?
You know, that's a really interesting question. I always had a very much an interest in chemistry. I had an interest in, sort of like everybody that's in a beauty pageant, I just wanted to save the world and help people. But
And sing a song.
That's right. And, you know, world peace was my goal. It seemed like a good marriage of science and interaction with people. So that was the thing. I'm not really, you know, I in the biology club in high school, I remember going into a surgical suite while they were doing some surgery. I know, biology club in high school, isn't that mm-hmm. great? And feeling a little lightheaded and thinking, well, maybe a surgeon wouldn't be my role. So I thought, well, what could I do in the indoor without heavy lifting? I thought, you know, pharmacy might be my gig. So it turned out pretty well.
And from your time, we have other once aspiring, now practicing pharmacists in the Clan Walrath or the Clan Funk. So
that's true.
Kobe Funk, if you're listening, or if you're your nephew out there, have inspired others to pick up the mortar and pestle. So the mortar and pestle is the symbol of your craft. Why is that?
Well, there's a couple of things. Actually, the true symbol of pharmacy is the bowl and serpent of Hygieia, who happens to be the daughter of Asclepius. So what happened was, in the ancient days, you would go to the temple of Asclepius, and his two daughters, Hygieia and Panacea, would bring the sacred bowls, and you would sip from these bowls and become cured. So pharmacy's symbol is really the bowl and serpent of Hygieia. The RX, mortar and pestle, really comes from the days when the pharmacists did a lot of compounding. They would actually take various medications, grind them together. Just prior to me coming to school in Madison, there was a course called pharmacognosy, which actually was, you went out into the garden and you picked medicinal herbs.
Herbs.
The garden still exists.
Kingsfoil, that's a weed.
the garden actually still exists.
Oh.
And it's kind of a, it's just an homage to what we had. There was a time in pharmacy where pretty much everything was, you know, naturally derived. Stuff like foxglove and strychnine and all those things that came from plants, that's pretty much what we had. And so the pharmacists would have the various powders and elixirs that they would make. So that's where the mortar comes from. Not used much anymore, obviously. Right now, to try to get something compounded, that's what we call a medicine that comes from, you know, ingredients put together. Most drugstores are not even interested in doing that because it's just too time consuming for the reimbursement.
It's done by robots somewhere in Utah.
It's done by slaves. No, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Actually, there are what they call compounding pharmacies, pharmacies that actually specialize in that kind of thing, because it's and they also had a saying in pharmacy back when I was in, it's called secundum artem. In other words, secondary to the art of putting these things together.
How do you make a vanishing cream if you want to put a little powder? I've seen them do this before. Like, oh sure, I can just whip you up a quick. I didn't have to answer that question.
A vanishing cream?
You put your things into some sort of rub or whatever. But we live in a day where you can get almost anything over the counter. But should you is often the question. And I have an interesting dichotomy in my world that I have, my two awesome parents, and my mom takes a lot of different things, and then my dad takes as little as possible. So what can you tell me about when you decide that, like, when should you take some drugs and when should you not, in your opinion?
Well, okay. So this comes down to an analogy that I will use is, if you got an automobile that's not acting well, do you take out the wrench and take it apart and do it yourself, or do you go to a trusted garage and say, hey, this thing's making a funny noise, right? The same thing happens. You should use that same approach. In my opinion, you should use that same approach in medicine. You need to have that trusted healthcare provider, whether it's your doc, your nurse practitioner, your PA, a naturopath, whoever you see that you trust, because the practice of medicine today is so complicated. I mean, there's so many specialties and subspecialties that if you don't have somebody you trust, it's going to be a difficult time navigating through it. So if you have a trusted healthcare provider that says, I think this medication's right for you, that's the place to start. Now, there are places that just love to prescribe, and there are people who won't take their medicine. So, the whole thing's in play here. I personally, for my own personal health, I take as little as possible. When I get a headache, do I pop an Advil or an aspirin? No, I just sort of say, nah, that's life.
Go for a walk or something.
Go for a walk, have a glass of water. Maybe it's dehydration. You try to say, well, what did I do yesterday that made me achy today? But other people, they seem to think that medication's the answer. Not a big fan of that myself, personally.
Right. Sometimes more is not more, nor is less more, but just the right amount.
Yeah, that's right. Well, just remember, everything that you put in your body is doing its very best to get rid of it. That includes water. You take that sip of water, your kidneys kick in and say, we got to get rid of that. Okay, so regardless of what medication you take, it's considered to your body as a foreign substance and it's trying to get rid of it.
That's an important lesson. So, go talk to your naturopaths, your Eastern, your Western medicine, and do what you think you need. But sometimes water is just the best, maybe some meditation or whatever. I try to listen to that myself and don't get on WebMD and be like, well, I'm going to start taking 5-6 things here and that'll clear it up. It's like, well,
let's be honest. We live in a world where if you are in need of medication, we have marvelous medications. I'm living a ringside seat of somebody who was just diagnosed with a very serious disease. We didn't sit down and do a smudge pot. We went to see an oncologist and chemo was administered. It's poison. It's bad stuff. But we're talking life and death here. So, you have to trust your provider and you have to trust the process. And I know for a lot of people, that's really hard. I mean, we all feel like we lose control and it's really hard, but there's times when you got to say, I need help.
That's right. And when you're... When you're in that that situation, it faith, a good prayer, thoughts and prayers, also appreciated, but can't beat the right chemical for the right job. We do live in that modern day. So you have terrible handwriting, as do I.
Thank you very much.
Right? Yes, and in fact, in my signature, I have sort of patented after yours, which is to say, for no good reason, I can sign my name in about 1/3 of a second. Because back in your time, when you had your... Now, this is old school 80s, 90s pharmacy here. So he yes, that's right. Pilduck here, true mad scientist, had the calculator on his watch.
I did have the calculator.
For many years. Many, many years.
I still have that watch.
You have that watch. Now it's been replaced. But also you...
I'm hoping they'll pass that on to you someday.
There we go. <That's, laughs> no Pulp Fiction-esque stories here. But you were also someone that was in the tank, really making sure that people got the things that they needed at a very busy hospital, even serving as an emergency room pharmacist, right?
I worked in the ICU. Never was actually frontline ER, but I would see them shortly after they hit the ER, and they would come to us and in very bad shape, yes.
So we live in Madison, which is adjacent to Epic. So all my Epic homies out there that work for the powers that be, salute, spend your money in Madison. Thank you very much. But so they're getting their scripts through now data input. It used to be a doctor who had terrible handwriting would write a prescription that you could maybe read or maybe not. And then sometimes, so the worst thing that could happen is that not only do they get the wrong medicine, but they're not getting their medicine, they're getting another medicine back in the day before they had to key it in. So what have you seen change in your time as someone who puts the things together?
Well, certainly, yeah. There was a time when being able to read cursive... I mean, everybody read cursive because...
Cursive? What's that?
Exactly.
I thought we weren't allowed to cursive on the air.
That's right. There's certain words you can't say. And so the physicians would write the prescriptions out in longhand, and they'd put them on a little piece of paper, and people walk up and hand them to you. And I'm not going to lie to you. There were times when you looked at it and you said, I have no clue what this is.
Call Dr. Johnson and ask him what the heck he's doing up there.
It was incumbent on the pharmacist to call the office and say, hey, I've got this prescription from XYZ, and can you give me a hint what it is? And usually somebody from the office would say, well, either he'll call you back, or, oh, I'll look in the records, oh, that says this. That was extremely rare. You really got good. In fact, when I worked in the hospital, the doctors would write in the charts, and then we would get copies of everything, and I would many times get calls from unit clerks or nurses saying, can you tell me what that says? And I would just say that, and I would read the whole thing to them because I got really good at reading bad handwriting.
And you knew that, like, oh, well, since there's like a little like CL at the end of this, that means like it doesn't matter what else they wrote. I know that this is like some sort of chlorinated whatever the heck it is, right?
Well, back in my day, everything was brand name. So no one ever used any of the generic names. Everything was sold by brand name. So you had to know the brand name, and then because that's what the physicians wrote. Now, of course, everything is transmitted electronically, and the menus are built. I mean, I worked on the IT side of pharmacy, and so we were very intentional on the medications that were presented to the physicians. In the hospital setting, of course, we would have what we call a formulary, which was a very defined list of medications. They couldn't just order anything. And, of course, those things then get turned into prescriptions on the outpatient world. But in the inpatient world, the physician chooses the med from the list. It's transmitted to the pharmacist. The pharmacist looks at the order, and he calls verification to do the verification step, and then it goes into the system where the patient begins to receive the medication. So it's so different now.
Versus like a slug. You know, you would trade like a bullet for some medicine or some the frontier pharmacist who would trade you like, well, I got an ailment, and then you know you give them a couple shotgun shells, and they would give you a whiskey and some snake oil or whatever.
Yeah, I guess. Sure.
And you know, so it's already time for our music break here. And we're here winning the war on drugs as always. So, this is in honor of, growing up, war on drugs. I don't live here anymore. Listening to the Perpetual Notion Machine on WRT FM 89.9 Madison, streaming all over the galaxy at WRTFM.org. You can go to archive.WRTFM.org, find any show you want. 2 weeks for music shows, or Uncle Ken, if you're out there, you get 3 months or more or less, or maybe I'll send you an MP3 like the 90s, and you can listen to...
Can you get it on 8-track? Put it on an 8-track player?
The Brothers Walrath here, the Tribe Walrath spit at you about drugs, prescription drugs, only the best, only the best and brightest. So I'm here with my dad, my father, Rick Walrath, a.k.a. Bad Dad, codename Pill Duck, spent his time in the tank spitting out pills through pneumatics. I always love the things like a bank machine. You put it in there and they whoosh, you know, it suctions it away. Like the distant past, they would have these things that were, you know, like air tubes, right?
And well, we had a pneumatic tube system in the pharmacies that I worked at. We'd send stuff up to the floor.
It really sucks, right?
And then in almost every hospital in America, they have like ATMs that spit pills out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So what happens is the pharmacist will approve the medication through the prescription process, and then that shows up in an ATM near the nurse up on the floor. She goes, looks up the patient, puts in the profile, bing, 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 the pills fall out. They take them to the bedside. They all have barcodes. They barcode the patient's wristband. They barcode the pill. And so that's how medication errors have been greatly reduced across the universe.
Because you had to count pills back. That was a job.
Many times. I could count to five faster than anybody.
Yeah, or like you have to do your math with your pocket watch and be like, huh, you know, I'm going to divide this by whatever.
See,
you know.
I used that calculator to calculate doses based on people's chemistries.
Okay.
So you would look at things and say, well, certain medications are based on milligrams per kilogram or milligrams per meter square. You'd have to look at a patient. You'd get the patient's height, weight, and gender, and you'd figure out their metered square of skin and base chemo on meter square. Now, there's some fun stuff.
Some
so if you didn't have a calculator,
right there,
that was really hard to do in your head.
Get your TI out there, Texas Instruments. Play some Snake. All right, so you had a very important message to our listening audience out there, and that is that's right, RTFM. Look it up. Can't say it on the air, but so the biggest thing is just when you get something, you get that piece of paper. What do you want people to do to that when they actually get their scripts?
Prescriptions are, again, they're sent out electronically, so you don't even get to see it till you get up to the pharmacy.
Right.
Your care provider should say to you, well, I'm going to prescribe this for you. Number one thing I would say is make sure you know why. I mean, I take a blue pill for this, and I take a white pill for that, or I take a heart pill and a sugar pill. Please, please, engage and figure out what it is you're taking and why. Ask why. And then when the prescription is actually dispensed to you, you will get a bottle with all kinds of labeling on it, and you'll also get a handout with all kinds of side effects on it. My advice to everyone is this. Look that pharmacist in the eye and say, if this was your son, if this was your daughter, if this was your mother, what would you want them to know? Boil it down to what you need to know. Because if you look at all the side effects, of which most medications have a myriad of side effects, the chances of you getting any of them or all of them is pretty remote. So you need to know what it is that is really important to know about the medications. So know your medications, read the labels, heed the labels. The reason we say take it with food or without food is because that's how the medication works the best. So engage. That's what I'm telling people to do. Is you can't, you know, you just don't say, well, it's up to somebody else to make me healthy. No, it's up to you to be engaged in your own health, your own care.
Take with a full glass of water.
And why would we say that?
Because it's going to be better absorbed if it does,
better excreted,
who knows?
Yeah, or better excreted, or better distributed.
What goes up must go down.
You know, asking those kinds of questions, well, why do I take it with food? Or why do I take it on an empty stomach? Or why do I take it first thing in the morning? Or why do I take it at bedtime? So it helps you get into the idea that, oh, yeah, I'm participating in my own care. I think that's super important.
And now with the drug ATM, which is there's a band name right there. But also interactions are very important. And that's part of what you get a degree for and you learn. And I think there's more automation. But it used to be that you had to make sure that someone prescribed something and you saw their list of other medications. You had that cross-check in your own brain being like, wait, we can't do those two things together. And that's why the interactions are very, very powerful, very, very important because, you know, I don't know what it is that this thing does, this beta blocker versus whatever, and how they're going to amplify or negate each other. And so how has that changed over time as far as you often said there's more work for pharmacist techs because a lot of the technology is getting to the point where it does that for you, but that's still important. So what's changed as far as that, as far as knowing what you need to not give people and how that interacts in a hospital or other settings?
Right. Well, so it really comes down to a complete medication list. If the prescriber or the dispensing pharmacist doesn't know all the things you're taking, you can't really effectively screen for drug interactions. By and large, most drug interactions are manageable. There are certain ones that are deadly. Okay, there's like, for instance, if you're taking a blood thinner called warfarin, which was developed in University of Wisconsin many years ago as a rat poison.
Shout out, Warf.
You might have heard of it. It was a rat poison that, that became a very widely prescribed medication.
It's my favorite rat poison for sure.
As a blood thinner. Well, that blood thinner with aspirin is a deadly combination.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but most of them are not nearly that dramatic. So the number one thing is make sure the pharmacy that you're using has your complete med list. You know, if you're taking herbals and you're taking over-the-counter things, that's complicating because it's hard for them to have all that in there. So that we used to just know the big ones, the heavy hitters, the top 10, mm-hmm. and make sure we took care of those. Now the databases are very complete, and pharmacists in the hospitals see a bunch of alerts all the time, and we have to make our decision and say, well, yeah, there's a possibility that that interaction could happen, but the percentages are low, so we're gonna override that alert and say, yeah, the patient can take those two things. We also present those to the physicians at the time that they're ordering the meds, and then they have to make the decision to override or not override. But it's much more automated. There are huge databases that are constant. They're on a monthly basis. They're updated. So a lot of that has become automated, but there's always room in there for professional judgment.
Awesome. Yep. And that's why listen to your doctor, listen to your pharmacist. Maybe don't listen to someone who's had their brain eaten out by a worm. just saying. But
that worm may have some knowledge.
Right, yeah, right. It's on the bottom of a bottle. It always goes too fast. It's been a real pleasure, Dad. That's my dad, Rick Walrath, coming in here. He'll be back in his prime, turning 71 in a couple of weeks. Codename Pilduck.
You're not young for a tree.
Yeah, right. And this is the Perpetual Motion Machine, keeping it interesting around the kitchen table with you with science stories every Thursday. I'm your more or less monthly mad scientist host, Wally, with Music Wolf in there on the ones and twos engineering. And thanks to Ralph out there for listening to the phones. If first on the turf, keep cranking them out, my rhinos. And we're going to go out with an Avalanche Frontier Psychiatry. Have a great night.
Dexter ill today.
Mr. Kirk, Dexter's in school.
I'm afraid he's not, Miss Fishmore. Dexter's truancy problem is way out of hand. The Baltimore County School Board have decided to expel Dexter from the entire public school system.
Oh, Mr. Kirk, I'm an offended you to learn Dexter's truancy, but surely expulsion is not the answer.
I'm afraid expulsion is the only answer. It is the opinion of the entire staff that Dexter is criminally insane. Sane.
That boy needs therapy.
Lying down on the couch.
What does that mean?
You're a nut. You're crazy in the coconut.
What does that mean?
That boy needs therapy.
I'm gonna kill you.
That boy needs therapy.